Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
All right, good morning to you. Welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show. It is the 23rd day of December. Not that I could have forgotten that. It is the eve of Christmas Eve. Here's saw one of my, you know, Ethan and I are in here by ourselves pretty much today. Carl and Kim are out. And I was just, I found a meme here that played to exactly what you and I talked about earlier, Ethan. Somebody put up, "Hey guys, just about time to start Christmas shopping." Because it's the day before Christmas. So this is your Monday. Raise your hand if you still haven't gotten your shopping done. You have an opportunity here to get something done today before it's all over with. I don't know. Most of mine's done. I have one more thing I need to get, and then I'm done. Ethan, how about you doing? How you doing?
Yeah, we're pretty much done. My wife and I did the whole we're not going to buy each other stuff, which means you've got to buy your wife something. Mostly because we got new windows from Window World, so that was our gift to each
nice,
other.
Oh, nice, nice. So, how was that installation? Did they go well?
Yep, good. Went well.
Good?
Can't complain.
Glad to hear it. So, yeah, that's always a slippery slope you go down. With let's not get each other anything, and then you know that if she doesn't have anything to open on Christmas morning, you're going to feel bad.
Right, exactly. I don't think she would mind, but I myself would mind.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You would have that guilty feeling.
Got her a little something.
Yeah, good for you. I don't want to ruin anything there. My wife is the same way. I had to badger her. She wants to take a little getaway and wanted to spend the money on that instead. And I'm like, okay. But you still have to have something to open up right on Christmas morning because everybody's going to be opening a present or two. So let's see what we can get figured out. But I guess I'll probably see some of you at the mall later because I'm going to have to stop and get something on the way home today. No doubt about that. I'll avoid the big malls. Like the plague. I don't think I've had to go during... I take that back. I did go to the Mid Rivers Mall like last weekend, a week ago, and it was still a zoo. And the line was like out the door of the one store I went to. It's crazy. Just crazy. Coming up, we'll talk to our friend Jessie Jane Duff, get her take on what's gone on here this past week with the continuing resolution and some of these crazy comments from some of these Democrats regarding Trump, and he's not even president yet. Just crazy. Tom Ackerman's going to join us at the bottom of the hour. We'll talk about the bragging rights game, maybe a little college football playoff action, the Blues. Who have been on a bit of a losing streak. Maybe it's because of Carl's vacation, you think? I don't know. He'll be back tomorrow. You can ask him about it. We'll get to Tommy at the bottom of the hour, but right now, let's get to our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Individuals that should be pardoned, they are productive citizens.
This pardon that got handed down by Joe Biden, did you hear about it? That was the head of the NAACP, a guy named Derek Johnson, trying to argue that some of the people he commuted the sentence of are productive citizens. I want you to bear something in mind. Every single one of them are in jail for a heinous murder, and they're never going to get out of jail. So exactly what are they producing?
I am not a Democrat in the form of what the Democratic Party has turned itself into, the national brand, absolutely not. And they know that.
Yeah, Joe Manchin there saying, you know what, here's the whole thing. The Democrat brand right now is toxic. This is coming from a longtime Democrat who still caucused with him, even though he basically became an independent before he finally stepped away here from the United States Senate.
Well, there's going to be a hell of a lot less ankle monitors, so we're going to lock them up. We're going to put ankle monitors on people that we release. We're going to end catch and release.
Yeah, thank you. We're ending catch and release. Thank you, Tom Homan. Might need a few more cells down at the border But my guess is that influx of people will start to die off right now because they see what's coming on January 20th.
But no, he's not going to be president, that I can tell you. And I'm safe, you know why? He can't be. He wasn't born in this country.
Donald Trump having a little bit of fun at the media's benefit, this or at the media, I should say, not their benefit, but at their expense because of the concern over him being trumped, so to speak, by Elon Musk. Remember, have you seen all the headlines this week? All the headlines are, oh, Donald Trump got owned by Elon Musk. Elon Musk made Donald Trump feel small, is what Claire McCaskill said about him last week. Trump don't care. First of all, he jokingly threw in there the fact that because Elon Musk is an African-American, that is born in Africa, he cannot be president of the United States, even if he wanted to. And he's not going to be the de facto president of the United States. He's an advisor. He's an influencer without question, as he should be. And basically, he's one of the smartest guys in the world. Why would we not want him addressing the problem? Think about that. I mean, is Tesla not the best EV on the market? At least it's probably the most readily available on the market. There are more Tesla chargers out there than there are anything else. So I think Trump's having a little bit of fun with that when he kind of spells out there that, yeah, don't worry. I'm not too worried about Elon. He can never be president, but he can give me good advice. Why would you not do that? I think that's something else a businessman brings to the table. He's not getting all of his advice from some of his aides who've never worked outside of government in their entire life. How are they going to save any money for anybody? They're not. I mean, Musk and these guys, at least they've got some real world experience. And, you know, moving forward, what they're going to be working on for sure. This was a few more comments by Trump this weekend. He was out in Arizona. He's talking about bringing in the golden age. And again, twice this weekend, he mentioned getting rid of this whole transgender issue of men being able to compete in women's sports.
And for all of us standing before you today, I can proudly proclaim that the golden age of America is upon us. It's going to be a golden age. There's a spirit that we have now that we didn't have just a short while ago. Sadly, we didn't have. Well, who the hell can have a spirit watching women get beat up in a boxing ring? I don't think that's spirit, right? We're going to end that one quick. We're going to end it very quickly.
Very quick. Very quickly, it's going to be gone. We're not going to let men beat up on women anymore. Imagine that. Should that be controversial? Like, if you're a member of the hard left, would you not be in support of ending a situation where men were abusing women? Because that's basically what you had, right? Anyway, they're going to be doing that, and he's already talking about cleaning all of that mess up as soon as he gets in office. He said 2 o'clock the day he gets sworn in. By 2 o'clock, they should have a firm handle on everything. I don't know about you, but I thought that was pretty awesome.
And we're going to change it because your border is a disaster. Your border is a disaster, what's going on. And you just have a few days to wait. We're going to be fully operational, I would say, by about 2 o'clock. On the 20th.
You got a lot of applause on that one, for sure. Lots to look forward to. I'm looking forward to going to the inauguration. I can't wait. It's probably going to be cold. I got to get some of those Bernie Sanders mittens so I can bundle up when I'm standing out there waiting for him to take the oath of office. And then he's going to get to work right away. Apparently he's going straight to the White House, and he's going to start signing executive orders. It ought to be pretty awesome. All right, coming up, we'll get to our friend Jesse Jane Duff. And at the bottom of the hour, Tom Ackerman will talk about the holidays and the sports that are going to be on the TV. Maybe the Chiefs' big victory this weekend. We'll get to all of it coming up on the Mark Cox Morning Show.
Catch anything you missed today by getting the show podcast at 971talk.com.
I am hard, but I am fair.
Good morning, motivator.
From now on, you will speak only when spoken to.
Take the hill. We got a long week.
Always have a long week, but this is a short week, Jesse Jane Duff. Merry Christmas to you. How are you?
Oh, Merry Christmas. I feel bad for you, though, because Santa has you on his naughty list, so I don't think he's coming to your house.
Well,
I got the memo today.
Joe Biden has me on his naughty list for sure, but he probably wouldn't commute my sentence.
Yeah, but he's on a roll right now. You might slip in with the 8,000 plus that he's already commuted, you know.
Holy cow.
You know, I don't think he even knows who those people are. Yeah, it's pretty bad. You know, I'm really impressed with how President Trump is coming out and then sticking with his agenda, making sure that the American people do understand that he's going to keep his word. He's going to ensure also that many of these transgenders that have gotten into the military. Now, I just want to be very clear. Everybody is one of God's children, and we always should be treating people with dignity and respect. And we got to be careful from becoming this point where we're not sensitive to this mental issue that they have, gender dysphoria. But they will be potentially medically discharged, as they should be, because when you have a dysphoria such as that, it causes massive amounts of resources being misdirected towards surgeries and dealing with the transition of one individual when millions of Americans were refused or denied to be able to serve because of various other medical conditions that are far less egregious or serious or would take him off of the combat field. So I appreciate that he is going to clean up the military primarily. When you do talk about two genders, there are actually people that are born, as we know, hermaphrodites and others that have mixed chromosome issues. So we do need to be aware there are medically diagnosed people that have difficulties. However, his agenda is spot on.
Well, I hope he sticks with it and doesn't back down, because he's already had the left lighting their hair on fire as he continues on. You know, I did hear the other day, I heard a report, I'm sure you might have seen this, that people signing up for the military, those numbers are starting to go up again, like the minute Donald Trump got elected. Have you seen that?
Oh, no surprise.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Because, you know, the botched Afghanistan withdrawal was such a gut punch in the veteran and military family community that why would anybody, the generational families that have had their sons and daughters join the military, encourage their son or daughter to join after that? They did not feel that they could trust the leadership of the military to do the right thing. It wasn't just Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. It was the generals that didn't have the intestinal fortitude to push back and say, no, this is a lousy operation. We had 11 Marines, a soldier, and a corpsman killed brutally, who should have never even been on that post, unarmed and incapable of defending themselves in such a horrible withdrawal effort. We also know that the COVID vax had removed 6,000 military personnel. Over 3,000 of them were United States Marines who did not want to take the vax. These were the people that were least likely to die from COVID, the most physically fit, the youngest. Watching people have to go into the military and see that we now have men portraying themselves as women, to the previous point, standing there for such as the Space Force, a full-blown colonel, a man, standing there with a dress on, a skirt on, wearing the uniform, telling everybody that we must have tolerance and enjoy each other's differences, has nothing to do with overwhelming and killing the enemy, which is the primary purpose of all military activity. And when you become a distraction and we have to divert our resources to such a small percentage of the active duty military that now diverts away from training beans, bullets, and Band-Aids that are going to get us across the finish line, we know that our military has been weakened by this very woke movement, as the president called it. As I recall, he said woke is BS, but he didn't say BS. He actually spelled it out for the audience, and they were, of course, very excited by that.
Well, yeah, I would agree with that. I said to a guest I had on earlier, I was encouraged by the youth of that audience there in Arizona, the Turning Point audience of Charlie Kirk, because they're the ones that have to carry this fight on when I'm retired one of these days.
Absolutely. And, you know, I agree with you. I've always said to myself, at some point, I have to let go and trust that the next generation will pick up that baton. And they are. And, you know, the left is going to see that young group and they're going to say it was a neo-Nazi rally. You realize that, right? You know, the brown shirts are in place. You know, that's how they will interpret it. But the youth is fed up, too. They're tired of seeing their peers, such as Asians, getting denied access to universities because actually there's too many Asians in the colleges. What kind of mindset is that? A meritocracy has a purpose in a society to accelerate and have the best ideas go forward. And although we've had a history that did have discrimination. I mean, keep in mind, the 1964 Civil Rights Act was passed in my lifetime. I mean, not my lifetime. I have to correct myself. I wasn't born yet. But it was a benefit for the age that I'm in now, but my parents' lifetime, my sister's and brother's lifetime. And that means there is a period there where a lot of people were generationally behind. But you do not get people ahead by now placing people in positions by purely the color of their skin. You create a system where there's equal opportunity,
yes,
not equity. And that's what DEI wants, is equity, where we're automatically stamped the same. That is communism. That is socialism. We don't rise and fall on our merit anymore. We now are the same. And when you look at the policies, apparently we're not all the same, because they're denying access to those that they don't need those numbers of. We don't need more whites. We don't need more Asians. And they're accelerating others. That's what equity is doing, trying to even the playing field in numbers based upon race or gender. That is not what equal opportunity means. It's not equality. It's equal opportunity, the opportunity to rise and fall on your own merit. And we can never forget that. We must all rise and fall on our own merit. I'm at an age where I cannot fall back on my excuses of what I didn't have when I was 18 years old anymore.
Right.
I've had every opportunity to finish my college, do what I need to do to accelerate in this world. I may have had a slower start than other people, but there's no reason that I can't go to the finish line debt-free and have my college degree and have an adequate job to put a roof over my head.
Absolutely. I got about a minute left here. What does 2025 look like for Jesse Jane Duff? I'm thinking Trump names you Marine Commandant.
You know what? I would love that honor to be the commandant of the Marine Corps, although the Marine Corps would probably, you'd hear them gasp in horror.
Oh, my gosh.
And they would be like, oh, my gosh, we're not, what are we going to do, talk the enemy to death? That's what they will say. They'll be like, we're going to use our verbal skills to kill the enemy. Okay, we got Jesse. I do not know yet. I'm on the inauguration team. We're planning this inauguration. It's going to be an incredible celebration. I will be in Washington, D.C., bundled up out there in the cold, no matter how cold it is. And I'm excited that I'm on this team, that we're going to have one of the best, if not the best, it will be the best
cool
inauguration in the history of the United States of America. The parade, the ball, and the rally.
I will see you there. I'm running out of time here. We got to run. Merry Christmas.
All right. Merry Christmas, and take the hill, motivators. It's going to be a short week. Santa's coming.
Hey,
be good.
It's St. Louis's. So there's
a tale about Christmas. The great sports mind like Tom Ackerman.
Baseball's really not a hard sport.
It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
It's like powered by coffee this morning.
Sports, sponsored by McDonald's. Reminding you to round up your total for Ronald McDonald House Charities on your next order.
Tom is in studio with us right now, and boy, I guess the big bragging rights game caught everybody's attention this weekend. That was a close one. I didn't watch till the last 5 minutes, but wow.
Great basketball game. I was there yesterday. It was a great atmosphere, first of all. Congratulations to everyone at Enterprise Center and the organizers of the bragging rights game. It is back. That was a fun, fun game that was on national television, was on ESPN, going up against the NFL. In my book, that was way more exciting than the NFL. If somebody invited me to an NFL game or that, I would go to that. And I would do that 100 times out of 100. I feel like a good college basketball game, especially one that feels like March,
yes,
an NCAA tournament matchup, is the best. And yesterday was just that. I mean, Mizzou and Illinois went head-to-head. I think that both came out of it looking really good. Illinois had the lead for most of the game. Missouri came back, went on an 11-0 run to take the lead with 4 minutes to go. Then the teams traded baskets. Illinois hit a three. Missouri came right back down. Tamar Bates hit a three to tie the game at 75. Then there was a couple of, you know, back and forths between the teams, free throws. And then Kasparis Jakachonis. He is the freshman for Illinois, and he is a tremendous basketball player. And he just made a great move, a pivot in the lane, and popped out, hit a jumper. And suddenly you got yourself a two-point lead, and they held on for a three-point win. And Illinois is every bit as good as advertised, and so is Missouri, I think. I think they're evenly matched teams. Missouri's 10-game winning streak comes to an end. They'll be tough to deal with in the SEC. Not the best team in the SEC, but they'll be right in the hunt. And I think they're both tournament teams. I do. And I think that you'll see them playing in March.
Yeah, Mizzou had a chance. They had a shot on a pretty good shot on a three that just didn't fall. They would have tied it, maybe sent to overtime.
They did. And I had a talk. I was watching the game with a lot of Mizzou people, and I kept telling them that run is coming. It's coming. Missouri's going to get this thing. And they went on that 11-0 run and took the lead. that's Missouri's game, is they get on these, they can play downhill on you and get all these deflections and get rolling on you. But Illinois stood tough and played a good, solid game. Nothing wrong with their game at all. I love the way they play. And Missouri, the same thing. I think it was just a good basketball game between two programs that are going to be very difficult to handle in their leagues. I do.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad they did it. I'm glad they filled up the Enterprise Center yesterday. It was fantastic.
Yeah, it was
fun
great.
Game. Fun game.
It was
so
great.
You mentioned the NFL. I didn't get to see the Chiefs game. I saw that they won. So I happened to be sitting there wrapping a few presents yesterday, and I flipped on the Patriots Bills game, and it's 14-0 Patriots, and I'm thinking, man, the Chiefs fans must be loving this.
Uh-huh.
That didn't last very long.
No, it didn't. The Bills found a way to win. That was one of my picks Sunday morning. I had the Patriots plus 14. I just felt like they would be able to keep it close. They've been an interesting team this year, and the Bills coming off that absolute shootout at Detroit in which they won. You know, generally you can have a letdown the following week, and they did until they rose up and won the game. But, yes, they were able to hold off the Chiefs one more time, but the Chiefs do have a Christmas Day game against the Steelers, and if they win that, they will have home field in the AFC, and they're probably going to get it. I mean,
yeah.
the odds now are weighed heavily in their favor after winning again, and the way the Chiefs win is by defense. They do it every single time. They picked off C.J. Stroud twice in their game and won 27-19 over the Texans, and the Chiefs, if you're going to go to the Super Bowl, you have to get through Arrowhead. It's just the way it's going to be. And they are really good there, and they could very well go back to the Super Bowl and win it. But the NFC has some serious competition going on.
Imagine, being 14-1, and you still don't know if you're going to have home field advantage.
Right. The Bills will probably succumb to that, and they'll have home field. But in the NFC, it's a battle right now. You got 12-2, Philadelphia. Which actually lost yesterday, so they're now 12-3. You've got the Minnesota Vikings. You got the Detroit Lions. They're both tied atop the NFC North. You got, I think, a good team in Green Bay that could end up surprising people in the end. But if you look at the NFC standings right now, you know, you've got, I think everyone pays attention to the Chiefs and Bills, and rightfully so. But the NFC's got some heavy hitters right now. Philadelphia has clinched a spot. They're 12-3. Detroit and Minnesota are both 13-2. And Green Bay is sitting there at 10-4. And I think, and they're going to play tonight, and they're going to win. They're going to beat New Orleans and go 11-4. And I think they're the team that people maybe aren't paying as close attention to. They're hot right now. They look great. So, you know, one of those teams could very well be in the Super Bowl and could give the Chiefs or Bills a lot of trouble. And maybe there is a surprise team that pops out of there. I think the Ravens are really good.
Yeah.
They beat the Steelers over the weekend. So, you know, it's going to be a fun little run here in January.
Do you want to talk about college football?
Absolutely.
I mean, I didn't want to bring it up.
No, I love it.
That was a rough game Friday night.
I was, you know what? I hoped that they could play better than that. They ended up losing the game by 10. They scored a couple of late touchdowns to make it interesting. Had they converted the two-pointer, it would have been a one-possession game with a chance for an onside kick. But, you know, they lose at 27-17. All I heard was SEC people saying, Indiana shouldn't have been in the playoff. They shouldn't have made it. Look at this. They don't belong. They got outclassed. I heard Kirk Herbstreit say they got outclassed by Notre Dame. I didn't hear anybody say that Alabama got outclassed by Oklahoma when they got smashed at Oklahoma. Alabama did not deserve to be in the playoff. They lost to Vanderbilt and Oklahoma, a couple of 6-6 teams. Indiana had one loss going into that at Ohio State. They lose to Notre Dame, a better team, playing at home on a Friday night, and they played a solid, great game. I think it was more about Notre Dame playing a solid game. Then what do we see on Saturday? We see three blowouts, Mark, and Indiana ends up playing the closest game of all four. Penn State destroys SMU. Texas beats Clemson by 14. Ohio State blows Tennessee off the field, and Tennessee would be, am I doing this right, Mark, would be the sixth best team in the Big Ten.
Yes.
If I'm talking like the SEC blowhards who told me that Indiana wouldn't be able to make it.
Right.
Cardale Jones, God bless him, the Ohio State former quarterback, tweeted that Indiana would smoke Tennessee.
Wow.
That's Big Ten sticking up for each other.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Cardale. So, yeah, I mean, I am, you know what, I think if you're an Indiana fan, all you have to do is say, we're not ready for the stage yet, but it is a good football team, absolutely belong to the playoff. They did this with a lot of transfers, and they kind of cobbled together a team, and now it's time to go get after it and recruit and build this thing bigger
and
bigger.
Lots of haters, right? Yeah, Indiana football needs to get used to that like Indiana basketball.
I love that. You're right. You know, it's like they would never say that about Tennessee. They would never say that Tennessee got outclassed by Ohio State when clearly they did. Because Tennessee's in the club, you see. Tennessee's got the brand. They're a football
powerhouse
tradition. Yeah. Indiana's not. Indiana's like the new kid in school who's pretty good, but you know, doesn't have any friends yet. So they're kind of like sitting alone at lunch. And that's all right. I got it.
Was it the tweet or the statement by your coach about we don't just play top 10 teams, we smoke them or something like that?
Yeah, see, and that's the thing.
But you got to have that confidence.
Yeah, that's where the hate comes from.
Yeah.
It's not about Indiana's brand necessarily. The hate is towards him because when your coach shoots his mouth off and then can't back it up, they're going to pound on him. But we like that. I think we like his confidence. He was the coach of the year across all platforms.
And he has won everywhere he's gone, right?
Yeah.
Like big time.
Indiana went 11-2. Never in my wildest dreams would I have thought that. And I think that they come back, and I looked at the schedule already. I mean, it
helps with recruiting. It helps all the way down the list.
It's a nice looking schedule. They do have to play at Oregon, at Penn State, but if they could steal one of those two, that's the signature win that everyone's been complaining that they didn't have. So I like their chances next year to be right back where they were.
You doing okay time wise?
Yeah, I got a couple more.
All right.
Yeah,
I'm just.
I'm actually good till about 9. If you
are you really? No,
I
got to
do the news at 9.
We'll just keep Tom in here for the next segment. That's awesome. Yeah, the Blues. We're doing well there for a while. They're a little bit of a losing streak.
Yeah,
right?
they have kind of fallen apart here recently. Jim Montgomery gave them a spark early, but they've lost 6 of their last 8 now.
Yeah.
A couple of those, they were able to get points, including the last one against Florida. They lost 2-1 in overtime and got a point. Joel Hofer playing well in net during that game. Yeah, you know, the Blues just haven't been able to find consistency among their star players or really their complementary players. And it's a tough league, man. I mean, there is no magical formula. You got to play tough for 60. And, you know, even in that win over the Rangers, in which they were up 3-0, you take your foot off the gas for a minute, and the Rangers scored 2 goals. This was 2 Sundays ago. Scored 2 goals in the middle of the third period, and suddenly it's 3-2. Jim Montgomery calls a timeout, pulls the boys over, and tells them, reinforces that you got to play solid, aggressive. You can't let off, and we need to be better. And they did. They finished the game 3-2. But it just shows you in the NHL, these are the best players in the world.
Right.
It can change in a heartbeat. The Blues will play tonight at Detroit, a team that on paper they're actually better than. But, you know, it's the NHL. It doesn't matter. I mean, on any given day, these teams can take you down. So it'll be interesting tonight at 6.
What are the Christmas plans, Tom?
Christmas plans for us are to stick around here. I love Christmas. I absolutely love it, and I love not traveling on Christmas.
Yes.
So we will stay here. My sister lives in San Diego, so I will have my mom came in last week to spend some time with us. I appreciate that. My mom and stepdad live in San Diego, so they'll be with my sister and my nieces, and we'll chill out here, right here in good old St. Louis in the cloudy, damp weather, which means fireplace and football. Perhaps a little cocktail.
Ah, nice.
And just kicking back and enjoying and opening presents and having a great time. I will be here tomorrow.
Okay.
I will be not here Wednesday.
Neither will we.
I'll be back on Thursday, though. And, you know, looking forward to the week. Something we'll keep an eye on the next couple of days is the Cardinals possibly making a move before Christmas. You know, we saw a lot of baseball moves here over the last 12 hours, which tells me that teams are trying to get them all in before the Christmas holiday. So would the Cardinals trade Arenado that quickly? I don't know. We need to see where Alex Bregman goes first. But Paul Goldschmidt went to the Yankees over the weekend in a free agent signing, and that was expected that he would sign somewhere that would fit him well, and that fits him very, very well.
Well, good. Well, Tom, listen, Merry Christmas, buddy. Thank you.
Merry Christmas to you and all of our 97.1 FM Talk family, and thanks for allowing me to do the news today.
We appreciate it. Thank you for filling in.
Do a little news.
We do appreciate it. All right, we're going to take a quick break back here in just a minute. Stay tuned.
they've been needing something to stop the bleeding. This is what you get on this holiday. Get on the limbo letter. The right.
All right, welcome back. One of my favorite oldies but goodies from the Wright Brothers back in the day. You can tell how dated it is because they try to get you to order the Limbaugh letter for your loved ones this year, and it's still just a fantastic song. Bring it back up a little bit, Ethan. I know Ethan potted me back down. Just listen to this and just enjoy it for a second, please.
What you get, the liberal on your list this year. A Fox News shirt and coffee mug, or Laura Ingraham book would be nice. A one-way ticket to the no-spin zone, or Andrew Wilkow on the satellite. But don't rely on dear old Santa. Remember, he's the fella who knows who's been naughty, who's been nice. And since they're trying to stop Christmas, I don't think they'll be getting anything from old Saint Nick this time.
Nice. I love that song. Anyway, the Wright Brothers, R-I-G-H-T, the Wright Brothers, was a band back in the, 2000s. And they produced a bunch of music around the time of the Bush administration. And then I just checked, and it still refers to them in the past tense. So apparently, they're not making any new music. It said they got international attention for a 2006 song. I've got it here somewhere called Bush Was Right. And and then they haven't done a whole lot since then. So anyway, I thought you might enjoy that this morning, since we are on the eve of Christmas Eve. I have a question for Ethan. What thinking back to your childhood, what was your favorite gift you ever got from Santa? Does anything stick in your mind?
That would be the Castle of Grayskull from He-Man when I was little.
No kidding.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I got a, this is going to age me, I get this, but I got a Batman mobile when I was little, like one that had pedals in it that you could, you could make it move and you could steer it. And today, of course, that would have a battery in it and they'd be able to just power all over the place. But back then it was a Batmobile, which I thought was really cool.
That is cool.
And I got a Mr. Peanut, a machine that you could make peanut butter with. Like, you poured the peanuts in the top and you closed the lid and it had Mr. Peanut on top of it. And when you ground it, the peanut paste would come out of the bottom. And I just remember thinking that was the coolest thing ever.
That is pretty cool.
I don't know whatever happened to it, but
it makes me think of that Snoopy snow cone machine you used to.
Yeah.
Everybody wanted, but no one ever got it.
Sort of like that. Sort of like that. And then, today you're a big kid and you want like a real Batmobile or a... something along those lines. Maybe go to the range and get something nice for yourself for this Christmas.
Or Macadoodles.
Or Macadoodles and get something nice for yourself. Thank you. We'll bring that up for sure. I may be heading out there myself. I told you I had to find another gift today while I'm out and about. So if you are out and about, good luck with everything. I hope you have a very Merry Christmas. I'm off tomorrow. Ryan Recker will be here hosting the show in the morning. Ethan, are you in tomorrow?
Yep.
Ethan will be here.
Carl should be back.
Tom Ackerman will be handling the news duties again tomorrow. We're all off on Wednesday. We'll have Fox News programming for Christmas, and then back in here on Thursday with Ryan Recker, and then I'll be back in the chair on Friday. Kim has the entire week off. So have yourselves a merry little Christmas. Be safe out there. Stay warm, and we will see you on the other side of Christmas. Have a great holiday.